Scottish football's league leader. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Second half's already underway across the country. Rangers 1-0 up from the break, and early action in the first exchanges of the second half, I should say, is a penalty shout for Dundee United. It was Barisic was chasing Tony Watt. Tony Watt goes to ground, and he felt he should have had a penalty, wasn't given. And we'll probably argue about that in the days to come, but you never know, Hugh. Might have been nothing in it. Doesn't stop us.
Referee Kevin Clancy, the man that Rangers have protested over in the past, actually took the step of writing to the authorities to have an 8-point go at the referee after his performance at Aberdeen one night. But on this occasion, Kevin Clancy has not given a penalty against Rangers.
Well, wait and see what the fallout from that one is. I'm not sure. It wasn't major protest, by the way. It's just a claim from Tony Watt, and it waved away. So on we go. Same teams, I believe. I don't think there's been any changes at the break. Yeah, no changes, in fact. So still Rangers 1, Dundee United 0. And it feels like the end of the second half did become a bit pedestrian. Gordon did become not quite what the Rangers fans hoped it would be when the game started. So you can change that. You can change it quickly. Come out the blocks here and try and turn things in the right direction.
They'll be hoping to start the second half like they did the first. Gordon got that early goal. The second goal puts this game to bed. Well, it's still 1-0. Dundee United have got decent players, like say guys up front like Tony Watt that can put the ball in the back of net. I know his record at Tannadice just since he signed there from Motherwell hasn't been that great, but he's always a threat. Tony's a good player. He's a very experienced player as well. But I think Rangers will be trying to put this game to bed as quick as they possibly can. And if it goes 15-20 minutes and there's no sign of that, there's plenty of talent on that bench to come on and prove a point.
If you can make an early season comparison between Celtic and Rangers, and they are 1 and 2 in the league, so you're entitled to have a bash at it. Celtic are thrilling. Thrilling to watch, and have a goal difference of 24. Rangers happen to have started in a way that means that you wouldn't describe them as thrilling. They've got a goal difference of 8.
Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
You're about to say 9.
They've just added to the goal difference. Your timing, as always, is impeccable. Rangers 2, Dundee United 0. Barisic cross, a near post finish from Antonio Colak. Can't really argue with the goals total he is providing. And he has got 2. Rangers have got 2. And that changes things.
Yeah, it certainly does. I said, listen, took the words right out of my mouth. It was a case of get the second goal. They've started the second half same way as they did the first. Got the goal. Cholak's a man. I tell you, he's got to feel a little bit unlucky to have been left out. I know that we had a couple of games there. He didn't do a lot, but he's a guy that thrives on decent quality. You get decent quality to this guy, he's got a knack of putting the ball in the net. He's good at it.
Yeah, gets across the front post. And does really well to score that one. It was a good crossbar on Barisic as well. Nice finish. And a 9th goal of the season for Antonio Colak.
That's impressive when you say it like that. I mean, he's certainly one of the signings that has hit the ground running. And that's where the pressure of Morelos over his shoulders. Daz is right. I mean, might have felt a wee bit hard done by midweek. We were discussing it. You know, I always thought that Rangers would need Morelos to hold the ball up because they're totally different players. It's no doubt though, when the ball comes in the box, this guy can finish. And it's a good problem for Van Bronckhorst to have just now.
It doesn't alter my opinion that thus far in the season, Celtic are thrilling and Rangers are not as thrilling as Celtic. So I revert to my default setting. I said to you it'd be 4 or 5 and I'm halfway there.
Yeah, you can't argue with that, Hugh. You came out early. Look, it was what the boys were saying. Mark said it Thursday, David Friel said it's afternoon. You couldn't have picked, and not been disrespectful, Dundee United, but you couldn't have picked a better game at Ibrox in the league, especially with the way Dundee United have been performing lately. But they've still got to get it over the line, and so far they've achieved that.
Okay, just a reminder of how things sit then. Hibs scored late in the first half, a Martin Boyle penalty to cancel out Duke's opener. So 1-1 Hibs Aberdeen Easter Road. Christian Montano has Livingston 1-1 against Kilmarnock early in the second half. St Johnston, Ross County still goalless, and Rangers now 2-0 up. Antonio Colak has both. Jamie Berjonas, former That Rangers player has scored for Kelty to draw them level against Peterhead, and that gives us the perfect opportunity, Hugh, if you are ready.
I am.
The second half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
I have played alongside Graham Dorans, Patrick Schick, Lomana Loaloa, and been managed by Roberto Di Matteo and Sven Goran Eriksson. I've won the top flight and cup in my own country, but only won one major domestic accolade in Scotland. I have played for 10 clubs across 5 different European countries. Who am I? Lot of information to absorb. I've played alongside Graham Dorans, Patrick Schick, and Lomana Loaloa. I've been managed by Roberto Di Matteo and Sven Goran Eriksson. I've won the top flight and cup in my own country, but only won one major domestic trophy in Scotland. I've played for 10 clubs across 5 different European countries. Who am I?
Oh, wow, that's a lot to get through. If you want to see it all written down, go to @ClydeSSB on Twitter. And of course, that's where you send your answer as well. Less typing involved in the second half teaser. Just one name, but maybe a bit more thought to try and figure out all those clues. It won't be going well for the Accies fans, because Queen's Park have just taken a 2-goal lead. Ooh. Grant Savory, that's at Hamilton as well, so that's not ideal.
Yeah, big result that for Queen's Park. They're going about their business well in that division where Cove have struggled. They certainly seem more comfortable. I'll tell you what, that teaser, I'm going to say nobody's getting that. That's really tough. So much info.
Someone
in that
will have that in minutes.
Yeah,
it's always do. It's not. It is a tough question,
and it's ungoogleable.
You never underestimate just how smart some of our listeners are with this stuff. They know their football inside out. They put it all.
We'll struggle.
It's not so much that. It's the way they piece it all together.
Was there many clues about his time in Scotland?
No.
He's won one, so that's why I think that's so difficult. He's won one honour in Scotland.
Yep.
Did that say?
Yep.
That's what makes it
I
so difficult.
I think you could be a single leaf in the second half, working alone. I
failing to provide any shade.
Yeah, because I have
no clue.
Absolutely no clue.
No clue.
Okay, well, we'll see how you get on. It is tough, I must admit. But we'll see how you go at Clyde SSB. Try and get in touch. Hugh's been rehearsing all during the halftime break, by the way. We'll get him to do his best Robbie Williams impression very soon as he sings the new Andy Halliday song. You'll be, Andy, delighted to know, I'm sure, enjoying his day off ruined when he hears that.
Of course, he's got a day off today.
Yeah, because Motherwell Hearts tomorrow. Are you going? Are we going?
Yes,
should
what
say,
town do you want me?
Tomorrow. In all seriousness, why not? I'm going, but you won't.
Yeah, we'll go.
You'll find some excuse.
Not at all. 3 o'clock, I've got it in the diary.
No, you've not. Because I asked you yesterday if you were going, you said definitely not.
I did say I would be going. I'll be at Fir Park tomorrow.
I would have been
absolute joke.
The only thing is, I like to sit behind the goals. I hate the main stand.
That's absolute nonsense. Nobody chooses to sit behind the goals.
You do, you got a better view for
you
it.
Don't. You don't, a better do view of what, half the game. Pitch?
No, I like watching the tactical side of it, the defence, midfield attack, and the way they're going about
it. You can't see that from the main stand.
Plus the fact the main stand, the seats are a bit.
But answer
sore
me this
for me.
Then: when managers and scouts and coaches go to watch opposition, why do they never sit behind the goal?
Well, that's where the mistake they're making. That's why a lot of signings are failing, especially the summer ones. I just like the view of the back of the goals. I don't know the better seats for
don't
me.
Don't think there's another thing that sums him up.
I know
more than that. There, that strangeness that.
For a fan, like, you know, fine, like a real hardcore fan, which you're not, and you've had that seat forever and you like it and you go with your pals and whatever, and you're only interested in maybe the home team. But for you, a student of the game, to say that you prefer to sit behind the goal, nonsense.
No, I like seeing the way the back four and the goalkeeper works. I like seeing the runs. You can see them better from behind.
I tell you
the
what, it must be really a closer exit to his house. Something along
it
those
lines.
I really admire the Dazzler, because I've never heard a man who can cram so many lies into a single sentence.
You should have heard me
as a kid.
You should have heard me in my heyday from the home on Saturday night.
Gave it a good go. Wraith Rovers 2-1 in the Gordon Dale Derby. Brad Young. has Ooh. Pulled one back. Partick Thistle 2, Cove Rangers 0, Stuart Bannigan. And in the big derby, Benedictus, if you like, Dunfermline 1, Falkirk 1. I don't know if it's a derby as such, but there's just a bit of needle there, isn't there?
Stephen Mills going back on the pitch to look for
Kyle
his pie
Benedictus now. By the way, the SPFL is raining goals. Alloa 1, Montrose 0. George Stanger with the goal there. I was going to say, now this maybe only matters to regular fans of the show who've followed this journey. I was going to accuse you of tomorrow you won't actually go to the Motherwell game. You'll just stay at home. Well, you'll get your feet up on the recliner and you'll enjoy your Saturday.
Oh, no.
But it's practically become another pundit on the show, a character, if you like. The recliner is on its last legs.
Yeah, Gordon was telling me that. Yeah.
There
is
are
it really?
Structural problems.
I'm having a nightmare.
Mechanical issues with the recliner.
You've not had it that long.
Exactly.
I remember when I got delivered. What have you been up to?
I don't know what's happened to the recliner, but it's not
excessive reclining.
Yeah, the recliner
has caused an early damage to what should have lasted you much longer.
I have a solution for you.
Last week, lock the door.
Last week, at the Leaning Tower of Pisa, I was told by the tour guide that it cost 4 billion euros. To save the Leaning Tower of Pisa from falling down altogether, which is why they charge every person 20 euros to go inside and walk upstairs. But if you start a GoFundMe page
for the recliner.
Yeah.
No, I just need someone out there with expertise to know that. See the wee flick that whooshes out, right?
Is that a technical term?
Yeah. Somebody will know what exactly I'm talking about. It seems to be not quite working.
Stuck. Sticking.
No, it's more it's slack, but there's no strength in it to
nothing worse.
What about that workshop TV programme where you take
I don't think it works for recliners you've had for 2 years. I think it's meant to be like antiques and stuff that you get. You know,
this is the top of the range.
There must be a guarantee with that. Yeah.
Not 2 years.
But I think you've done something to make the guarantee.
Any recliner experts out there?
Yeah, please help because
get your hazmat suit on and go around and take a look at it. See what you can do. Oh, hold on. We've got another one of these.
Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
It's a goal at Ibrox and it's for Dundee United. They are back in it. It's Rangers 2, Dundee United 1. Liam Smith with the goal. They just brought on Anaku, Ugandan international. What an impact he's made. Don't even know if he had anything to do with it. But Liam Smith has pulled one back and it's Rangers 2, Dundee United 1.
Go back to my point. Celtic are thrilling, Rangers aren't.
Go back to your prediction. Rangers would win 4 or 5.
Yeah, but there's always a default setting. You know, I can imagine the rumbling and grumbling at Ibrox among the crowd, because they didn't come to see 2-1. They came to see something emphatic, and Rangers have had a first half in which they were so far in front it wasn't funny for Dundee United. So,
and I take it back. Sadat Happy Anaku, as he's known, Happy, what a name that is. And he did well, played a part in the build up. It was eventually played into Smith.
If anything happens to you...
Sorry, it was just an overly dramatic pause for me while I gathered my thoughts to make sure I word this fairly. Would John McLaughlin have been slaughtered for that part in the goal if it was him?
Yeah, 100%. As I say, I think the one thing McGregor's brilliant is shop stopping. But...
Well, the thing is, he saved two with his feet in the first half, and one of them was probably a better finish than that. No offence to Liam Smith.
Yeah,
I think that's that.
Listen, more than disappointing.
The bottom line here: Rangers are playing the team at the bottom of the league, a team who have been battered from pillar to post in European and domestic football this season, and they're 2-1 at home. They're unconvincing, and there's half an hour to go, and Dundee United have pulled their goal back. This is not what the Rangers fans came to see.
I know people don't. Or people think it can be cheap to just make the comparison, but how are you not meant to? It's the great city rivals. They're 1-2 in the league. You know, it's hard to get away from it, Gordon. The kind of thing that Celtic do now is, let's take the League Cup game. 68 minutes on the clock. Ross County pegged them back to 2-1. Oof, could it get nervy?
No.
They just kick on and win 4-1. On the opening day of the season, Ross County, with an hour gone, peg it back, make it 1-1, no fuss, just go on and win 3-1. This is different. You know, Rangers are, it's 2-1. does that rattle you, or does it just give you a little wake up and you go on and win as comfortably as everyone expected you? That's what Rangers now need to answer.
Yeah, I totally agree. But the way Rangers have been going lately, I think it will rattle them more than the fact of the confidence. If you're a Celtic fan and you lose a goal and it goes 2-1, I think you're very confident that, look, the team will up the gears, put in another gear, go and score a few goals, put the game to bed. I would honestly believe the Rangers fans are not that mindset yet. They'd be probably looking the negative side, thinking, we can't afford to lose another goal here because we ain't going to win this game. So I think that's where Rangers are just now, but it's up to them to show a bit of character.
See,
today
I thought I could remember a Liam Smith goal against Alan McGregor and Rangers just a couple of seasons ago. I didn't want to commit, and producer Callum has confirmed he remembers all these things, certainly when it's at Tannadice, so he likes scoring in the fixture. 2-1 Rangers then. Livingston 1, Kilmarnock 0, and Kelly have responded with a triple substitution. Jones, Murray and Lyons on, Polworth, Dorset and Armstrong off. So Derek McInnes has seen enough. Hibs are on top, as you may expect, because Aberdeen are down to 10 men, but it's still one apiece. The Duke cancelled out by Martin Boyle's penalty. Ruse is just blocked from Josh Campbell, went out for a corner. So Hibs very much on top in that one with the numerical advantage there. And yeah, still goalless St Johnstone, Ross County, I'm afraid.
It doesn't sound like a classic, to be fair. Roger Hanna should concentrate on the second half teaser.
People have got that, you know.
Have they?
Oh, have they?
Told well, you, the level is
I underestimated them.
I've got a sneaky this has been on before, because I've got somebody in mind.
What do you mean? This exact question?
Yeah.
No, that's not the way they
write down his name and I'll tell you.
You won't get this.
Well, Mark will verify.
Just write down his name then.
I've not looked at my phone.
Write down his name.
Because I think I've heard this before. Right?
Just even his surname. Never mind his Christian name. Just write down.
I'm not having it.
No, he's wrong.
Nah.
Oh!
Let me see, what name did you put?
I don't know. I think that's how you spell it.
It's definitely not how you spell it.
Well, do you know what? You're not alone. JC hit the byline, tweeted
see,
me.
He's been on before. That's why I got
he tweeted me saying it's Yusuf Malumbu and it's not Hugh Evans, is it? Right, we'll get that one out the way then.
Oh, I was so excited.
Ibrox is grumbling. Anaku is very quick and very direct, and that's shaking things up a bit. And they're not happy.
Well, I told you they didn't come to see 2-1. The Rangers fans have been shocked to the core over the last fortnight. Rangers fans aren't used to an aggregate 11-0 against them over the course of three matches, and now they're playing the bottom team in the league and they're still not convincing.
Just a word of praise. We don't do it very often, Gordon DL, but you have shown yourself up. The least you can do for your partner in crime there is congratulate him.
What's he done?
He stepped up to the plate majorly today with his cake selection.
Right, yeah. I've got to say, I don't give a lot of praise out in this show.
We've noticed.
And I'm right to do it, because there's not a lot of people in here deserve a praise. Mr. Cavins, for his song in Italy, got to me today. Really did. And I'll live with me. This man has produced the best cakes I've ever seen this show in all the years I've been on.
Yeah.
Right. Hannah comes in with digestives and rich tea, brings a
Hannah's biscuit selection is good.
Yeah, Hannah's good. Yeah.
He brought one chocolate cookie thing, right? It wasn't even good. Nobody even ate them. In fact, they're still there. So this boy comes in, an Italian. Was it an Italian?
He's gone to like a deli. He's gone for proper fresh cakes.
That good that he ate too.
Oh,
that's how good
they
were.
Two of them.
Two.
I didn't eat
and
two.
And they're not small. You one, did eat
they
two.
Were massive.
I didn't eat two. No, I didn't. I ate two one cakes. And a half.
And is this how you prepare, Mark Wilson? You've got big physical exertion tomorrow.
Oh, got a kilt walk tomorrow. Yeah, I need to get the carbs on me and get
and
all the energy.
Sugar
by the way, she just mentioned it on the show the other
colorings.
Night, and we had a wee joke about it. Thank you to everybody who did donate. You know, I know it's about a joke, but people do actually listen to this show and put their hands in their pockets. So very generous. A lot of comments coming in asking me to call Daz a certain thing on air, and they would donate more, but I don't think I can, because I'll be sacked. A lot of people want you to
just
do
like
it.
A random insult.
Aye. Do you know what?
Write it down for me. I'm curious.
I'll be with you in
why that.
I'll be with you in spirit.
I'm confused as to what people want you to call Gordon DL on this show.
I would
very specific. I mean, not entirely Not saying it's not accurate, but
I would probably put large in front of that.
Right, enough. Seriously, behave yourself. However, you missed his job application the other night, Hugh. We've got a career change lined up. He said when he shouldn't have that he met Hoopy the Huddle Hound the other day. Presumably not in costume, but we'll skip by in case we don't want to shatter any illusions out there.
I've met Hoopy.
And so Glasgow Wellington got in touch and said, would you be willing to dress up as the Wellington statue? They're looking for a mascot, and you could be the guy that they think you could. But it honestly gathered a little bit of attention.
I think it better
on social media. No, I just mean Glasgow Wellington have really upped it.
Right, okay.
They want to create a new mascot called DL the Duke. And they're serious. They say, let's make something of this for Cash for Kids. There's 90 players involved at the club. They say they could maybe get a bit of money.
Right, okay.
And they've got you on, you know, one of these sort of horse costumes, and it makes it look like so your legs are in the hind legs, and it makes it look like it's a proper horse, and you've got the cone on the head. Look, we got, they've sent me a nice picture.
Right, I'm going to tell you something, right, and the boys will verify that. Yeah. I went
Hugh,
out.
You having that?
No, not really.
Hugh, I went out like that on a Christmas night out, fancy dress with a horse.
Well, there you are. You've got experience,
right? And I know how to go with a horse.
That's not that. You just walk normally. No,
if you're going, you've got to trot and all that.
All right, okay. So you could do that for us.
Oh yeah, I like that.
Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
It's been coming, a 2-goal advantage for Hibs. It was a nice turning shot from Campbell. Remember, they have the man advantage. 2-1, sorry, to Hibs. They have the man advantage, and it's counted. So there we are. Josh Campbell, 62 minutes, 2-1. Forgive me for getting that one wrong there. It was the penalty from Martin Boyle on the stroke of half time that wiped out Duke's opener. And now Josh Campbell's made it 2-1. Good one. For Hibs if they could hang on.
Well, they had to make it count. I mean, last week, 2 weeks ago, should I say, Kilmarnock got down to 10 men and they stuttered over the line. I don't think they can afford another stuttering performance. So getting the second goal now gives them enough time to build on it. But what a disappointment for Jim Goodwin. He must have been granted at half time team talk, thinking, brilliant, keep things the same way they're going, and everything is spun in a matter of 20 minutes.
Wright and Tillman are warming up for Rangers. Rangers from about, I don't need to pick an exact minute, but they've not been flying for now the majority of this game.
Yeah.
And there's now 67 minutes, 68 minutes gone with no subs. Does that surprise you?
Yeah, because it's usually the,
especially now when you can use the five.
Yeah, it's usually around about the 60 minute mark. I think you're looking for a reaction 15 minutes after your halftime team talk. When it goes 2-0, you're probably thinking, right, that's it. It'll probably be 3 points on the board. We can get through this game and move forward. But Dundee United's got a spanner in the works, and I think you'll need to get some forward-thinking players on to try and get the next one.
Yeah, Scott McMahon's come on for Dundee United. Ross Graham has gone off, so they've made the first change. It's not even their first change. They'd made changes already. Arfield and Jack have gone off. Wright and Tillman have gone on. Does that make sense? Is that going to shake it up? Is that a bit more
a bit more pace. More direct creativity? Yeah, I think so. But a bit shades of Motherwell last season. Was it Motherwell last season? Rangers were two up and cruising, and we all thought it was game over, and all of a sudden there was a sting in the tail at the end. I need to be wary of that.
Giovanni Van Bronckhorst has to be careful. He's in the last quarter of the game. If any points are dropped today, the subject of Giovanni Van Bronckhorst's future goes on the table. That's how bad it is at the moment. He has, even if it's scraping through 2-1, he's now in a position where he has to scrape through.
Yeah, they're grumbling, certainly. A bit of frustration setting in, as Hugh Keevan says there. It's getting audible to those in the stadium. Stenhouse Muir 2, Elgin 3. Good game that. Kane Hester, Airdrie running away with it, 3-0 up against Clyde. Callum Smith with the goal there. So lots happening. Can we get any more drama in the Scottish Premiership? Because, you know, it's now poised at Ibrox, which we didn't expect, you have to say. A chance then, Gordon, if there is a lot of fascination around Malik Tillman and his very up and down season already, maybe a chance for him to come on. You know, can you be the match winner to secure things? Can you be the difference?
Yeah, I think it's a chance to come on and just get that confidence going again. as I say, up until the Celtic game, I thought, yeah, he's a promising player. He's looking very good in a Rangers jersey. Everybody was talking about him. I know what Fraser's saying about, you know, he's still a young lad, he's 20, but you cross the shot, you look at Abada. Abada's 20 for me. And I don't look at Abada and I think, well, give him a chance. I think Tillman has got a bit of talent, but where I do agree with you, when I watched him against Celtic, it was like the game was too big for him. Now, he will take time, and other players do take time to settle into clubs. Of course they do. He's certainly got a bit of talent in this lad, and it'll be interesting to see now. He's been given that sort of a brought out the firing line a little bit. Back in the now, it's up to him to make an impact.
Right, keep your answers coming into that teaser, by the way. I'm going to check in on that in just a second. There's not many goals that get scored in the English lower leagues that are not by a Scotsman that interest me, but Reading are one up through Thomas Ince. Now, our old pal Alex Ray is the assistant manager there. What about them signing Andy Carroll and I'm wearing the number 2 jersey? 10-point deduction as an absolute minimum for me. I mean, and Alex Ray, should know better because he's been on this show. He knows how passionately we care about the nonsense element of football. That you've got, somebody's got to put their foot down. Number 2, Andy Carroll.
Yeah, I can't. I
it's got to be the player. Player's got to have requested that.
But number
because
2?
There's no way. Aye. Come it, on. It's that odd that if a striker's handed number 2, they go, no, listen, give me one of the higher numbers. I'm not having number 2. He must have requested that for some reason. It's odd. Takes you back to like Zidane at
number
5.
Unbelievable.
There's been a few.
But then he was so good, he sort of made that his own.
Yeah.
What was the other one?
Haksabanovic is 9, which is recent.
That's at least
that's all right.
The right area of the pitch, though. What about, did William Gallas not get number 10? Remember, he was a centre half and he moved, and then I think they gave him the number 10.
Number 2 is up there with the worst, though. Yeah. I didn't even like wearing number 2.
Yeah, we noticed you get 12.
I asked for a 1 to make it more glamorous.
Yeah.
More continental.
Just to underline that you're the second choice right back. Just sure. What would the other examples of terrible numbers be? There must be loads out there, but Andy Carroll is number 2 is going to be close. Certainly.
So I've not had goalkeeper recently.
Derek Riordan, we're 0-1.
0-1.
Because he couldn't get 10 when he went back to Hibs.
What did Rudy Scatchell wear something at Dundee
51
United?
51 for like 5-1.
Oh, but
5-1. That's different. That's got a little story attached to it. I'm talking about ones that are just downright inappropriate. And by the way, it just shows you this. You don't take on, just a lesson for you, number 12.
Yes.
You don't take on the head of PFA Scotland. You will be put in your place. He says, your comparison. Lille Abada played 67 games and scored 20 goals before he signed for Celtic. Tillman played 4 games for Bayern.
Oh, wasn't it him? It was me.
Actually,
we're
a hang fire. Wasn't
it me?
Obviously, Daz. So,
yeah. Back
so
in your box, DL, he said.
Yeah, you're talking about age. Listen, doesn't matter.
It's experience, though. Age is just a number, as you well know.
Yeah, okay. 68 games.
67.
Just, so it's not really a massive experience that he's got in terms of it. I just think Fraser's talking nonsense. Just try to keep on both sides.
Keep on both sides. Okay. Derek Ryan 0-1. David Friel said, we mentioned that, David. Keep up. Any more inappropriate numbers out there that can beat Andy Carroll's number 2? It's going to be tough.
This might be a bad one. What about Dani Alves? Did he not change his number at Barcelona in memory or something? Yeah.
That's different. Come on, you've now put a very serious spin on what was a non-serious topic.
No, it was the boy who was the captain at Barcelona and lifted the Champions League trophy at Wembley.
Abidal.
Did he not change that number?
Again, I'm not talking about things that are nice wee gestures. I'm just talking about clubs that have cluelessly given.
There must be a reason behind Andy Carroll.
Like clubs don't just give you number. If you're Andy Carroll, you get to pick your number.
Number 2 must be special to him somewhere along the line.
No, but I got number 3 at Bristol City, and I actually got to pick that, and I don't know why I picked it. Unlucky.
Unlucky. Hugh, sorry to tell you, Clydebank 1 Spartans 2.
Oh.
We cup exit on the. I mean, what that V Cup run last year, of course.
I hope the bus breaks down.
What was the game? Was it Clyde?
I won. It's a nice bus. I seen it on the way in.
Beat Clyde and out to Annan, was it?
Yep.
Or the other way
around?
Yeah,
Annan.
Clyde.
Annan.
Yeah.
The
terrific
one?
Cup run. Absolutely what were brilliant.
Were they 2-1 or 3-1 up in the last couple of minutes and ended up chucking it away? And what a glamour tie it was the next round as well against Rangers.
I mean, I'm hearing shouts for Clint Dempsey was number two, but again, you're at least in the right area of the pitch. You know, yes, I know it's usually for flying overlapping fullbacks, of which he was not, but I think we can do better, I must admit. Right, and what we should do, Hugh, give us the teaser again, because it has been an incredible response, a real variation.
I have played alongside Graham Dorans, Patrick Schick, Romana Lualua. I've been managed by Roberto Di Matteo and Sven-Goran Eriksson. I've won the top flight and cup in my own country, but only one major trophy in Scotland. I've played for 10 clubs across 5 different European countries. Who am I?
Lundstrom Loyal says, is it Kazim Richards?
No.
Nets thinks it might be a man who had a very good midweek in the Champions League, Jeremy Frimpong.
No, not Jeremy.
He's not played for that many clubs. Mm. Vinny's Sticky Toffee Puddings says Timo Pukki.
No.
Peter Gray thinks Marc-Antoine Fortuny.
Think again.
A lot coming in for Malumbu that we mentioned earlier. And Dave thinks it's Vladimir Weiss.
All right, Dave.
All wrong, Dave, I'm afraid. Mm.
Have you any idea?
No chance, no.
Nothing at all from you two?
No, no. It's very difficult, that. Cancelo on number 7 plays left back for City.
Okay.
Yeah. By the way, that. See, speaking of numbers, I was guilty of it. See, at under 21 level for Scotland, Rainer Bonhoff gave me number 10, and I was playing defensive midfielder, right? And Sean Maloney was in that side. Sean was not happy that I had the number 10.
You were the
10.
Creative force.
I had
well,
the
Sean
number
Maloney
10.
Just sat there.
Yeah. I don't even know what number he had, but he kept saying, why on earth would he get to you?
Goal flashes. With Clyde-built home improvements.
Hibs are now 2 in front. It's Hibs 3, Aberdeen 1. It's Josh Campbell's second of the afternoon. Third league goal of the season, I think, for him. And Hibs are now looking comfortable. Hugh Keevans, you've got Hibby in the family. He'll be happy.
Yeah, that's more like it. You can't help but feel that the double whammy right at the end of the first half, Aberdeen are 1-up and then concede a penalty and Liam Scales is red carded. You can't help but feel that's been the turning point in the game. But it's a good result for
Dave Galloway says it could turn into a rout.
Oh dear.
The Red Army will not be happy. Is there there's no Wimpy in Edinburgh either, so he won't even be able to go and soften the blow at his favourite fast food eatery.
Oh well, you can get it on the road back up. But for Lee Johnson, it's a good day.
Albion Rovers 0-4-2. Kyle Hutton with the goal. Ewan Bange has put Queen of the South 3-up on FC Edinburgh, and Montrose have equalised against Alloa through Blair Lyons.
You get the impression that out with Celtic, Rangers and Hearts, the rest of them in the league, the other 9 could beat anybody either side on any given day.
I think so far you have to put Hearts in that as well.
I agree with you. I think Hearts.
Look at the results. Yeah. I know last season it had a bit of a feel of that about it, but if you look at this season so far, whether it's Europe, whether it's injuries, fine. But you know, lost against Livingston, lost against Kelly in the League Cup.
They'll surely take a lift off the European result midweek when they go to Fir Park tomorrow. Robert Snodgrass perhaps making his debut for the Hearts.
Louis Moog starting.
They'll be getting slaughtered. Halliday's in for it.
Oh,
Gordon DL's going to give him what for. He says that's why he's going along.
Yeah, Andy. Well, he'll start tomorrow, won't he?
Started during the week. Played well actually during the week. He did.
Well,
don't
Andy.
Tell him we said it, but he played well in
Europe.
No,
you've got to give Andy credit where credit's due.
And of course, he's sticker famous after the story we told earlier. I think you're up to that song, Hugh. I don't know if you've rehearsed it enough. I don't know whether
he's got to give it a bash. Let me tell you.
But just remind us of the of how it sounds. Think you've got that in your locker?
Yeah.
Right, okay, right, on three, let's go.
Oh, here she goes. There's a little too high or a little too low. Got no self-esteem and vertigo, cause she thinks she's made of Andy.
Brilliant. Oh, what a man. The Emperor of Rome has returned.
You know what, I'm disappointed at how good that was, actually. I was pretty good. I thought you would have been awful.
Now you know what the people of Venice got treated to.
Yeah,
very good. What was your name in the song you sang in Venice?
My Foolish Heart.
My Foolish Heart, brilliant.
Take care. This one, never heard it in my life. We'll never listen to it again.
Oh, I'll be putting that in my music.
Even see, you can tell.
I'd like to hear him getting to the high notes.
Nah, I don't think you would.
Never heard that either.
Never. Now, who sings that?
Jose Feliciano.
Never heard him either.
Honestly.
Got a one hat wonder?
Not at all. Man was a superstar.
It's funny how you see the different stages of technological understanding here, because you're ahead of him. You're into musical downloads and so on, but still you keep saying, "I'm putting that on my music," and holding your phone up to me.
I don't know what you're supposed to say.
I don't know. I'm going to download that, or I'm going to stream that. That's what the kids would say.
I'm not streaming. I'm just putting it on my phone.
Putting it on my phone.
Yeah.
It's the same guy that sang Feliz Navidad, the Christmas song.
Oh, I know that one.
There you are.
Is that the same guy?
So he's not a one-hit wonder.
Good.
There we go.
That was a good Christmas one.
Hold on, let off Dundee United. A crazy pass out from Eriksen. Tillman looked for Colak, but it was saved in the end. So it could have been 3-1. It could have been that gloss. Both teams have had debates about their goalkeeping situation this season. Dundee United get away with that one.
Very interested to hear the callers from Ibrox on their way back from the match, because, you know, it's simply not a performance that would have you say, "Oh well, they've righted the ship once again." Dundee United, you know, bottom of the league, going to Ibrox, the team that everyone loves to meet, Dundee United, and Rangers have been thoroughly unconvincing.
But you would expect, you know, I think you'd, if you win the game, Hugh, and you walk away and the Rangers fans say, "Well, the Dundee United goalkeeper had the game his life today, man of the match," you can accept that. Yeah, I just don't see that at all. I think there's something, a sharpness, I don't know what it is that's missing at Rangers just now.
Rangers now making more chances though. Eriksen saving this time from a Tillman header, so they may well go on and get that third. Whether that's enough, well, we'll, in terms of the Rangers fans, we'll see.
Well, you know, if you're a Rangers fan and you're happy with that, then you're easily pleased, because you're talking about a Champions League group where you played two games and you've been hammered in both games. You haven't scored the goal. You're bottom of the group. You know, as Roger Hanna rightly said, Scottish teams in the Champions League, massive gap in quality. But at home, Rangers are expected to be better than this.
And you've got to say, if Tillman had a little bit more experience, he'd have probably scored that.
You haven't got there.
Well, there's a bit of aggro, as they say. King, is it Leon King that's gone into the book, or is it John Lundstrom? There was a tackle on McGrath. So it was Leon King's tackle on McGrath.
This is an interesting feature of Rangers in the last four games. The discipline, I said it earlier.
Sorry, Hugh, just to describe that, because obviously on radio you're trying to do the justice. Think John Lundstrom against Hibs.
Aye. Yeah.
Remember the tackle that everyone argued about for so long? Similar. Mulgrew and Barisic getting a bit of a talking to. No bookings, though. Similar from Leon. We're seeing a lot of those tackles now, aren't we?
Well, from Rangers you are. As I say, six bookings midweek. Tavernier booked today, Leon King now booked. He's taking one for the team, Leon King, because Dundee United were moving in a very positive direction, and it's indicative of the afternoon in general. That you can come at this however you like, this is not a good performance from Rangers.
Charlie McGrew is not happy. Conor Goldson's arguing it's all kicking off. Nothing major, but let's check in on that teaser, Hugh, if you don't mind.
Okay, I have played alongside Graham Dorans, Patrick Schick, Lomana Loa. I've been managed by Roberto Di Matteo and Sven-Goran Eriksson. I have won the top flight and cup in my own country, but only won one major trophy in Scotland. I have played for 10 clubs across 5 different European countries. Who am I?
Alan has thrown on maybe a former teammate of yours, Mark, Jiří Jarasík.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Played with him.
Jiří. Yeah, I told you a story how he was the one at...
Oh, that's right.
He got stripped, didn't he? And then he wasn't in the squad.
It's not him.
It's not him.
Right, okay.
Paul Kingswell thinks it's Ayal Berkovic.
Nope.
You know, I can see quite a few right answers, though. It just shows
that's
you.
Amazing.
Yeah, the standard out there.
Amazing. Yeah, I never thought anybody. I'm nowhere. My mind was gone. Early doors with that one.
Mm. Oh, there we go. Gordon Staniard has ruined it for me. Staniard, sorry if I pronounced that wrong, Gordon. He says, "Andy Carroll, Let his kids pick his squad number. They picked two as it was their second birthday.
Oh,
can't ridicule him now, can I? Great.
I think you can actually, because that's even worse then.
Nah,
I thought it was a more, I don't know, sentimental, charitable issue.
You're more sentimental than your own children.
Oh, get away.
On their second birthday.
I hope your two sons aren't listening.
Oh, man. They would have picked a more adventurous number than two for me.
What a game in the Gordon DL Derby.
What's the score now?
Leith Rovers 3, Ayr 2.
Whoa.
Scott Brown has scored. Partick Thistle 2, Cove Rangers 2, Mark Reynolds.
What about that? That looked done and dusted for Thistle at one stage.
Just, it did end up in bookings from McGrew and Barisic in the end there. Obviously pushed it too far. Fraser Wishart says, can a 2-year-old choose a number? That's a good point. On your second birthday. It must be pretty smart.
There we go. That's why Carroll should be getting slaughtered.
He's a bit lippy this afternoon.
Yeah, he's chirpy, isn't he? He's picking up quite a lot. But I like that. He keeps us right.
He's well past his best anyway.
Carry with Fraser.
That's harsh. What's up with Fraser?
Andy Carroll.
All right, okay.
He's past his best in 19.
Alloa 2, Montrose 1. Bradley Rodden with the goal, 87 minutes. We're in that territory now where any late goal might have serious ramifications on the outcome of the game. I mean, if there were to be a Dundee United equaliser, oh my goodness, the reaction on these phone lines would be quite something. In fact, it might not end at 6. We might need to extend it. But, you know, even if it stays this way, I think we'll get some grumbles from Rangers fans. But never
for mind. Sure.
But, you know, 3 points in the bag as it stands. Hibs have got it 1, you would have to imagine. 3-1 against 10-man Aberdeen. Can Kelly find a late equaliser to break Marvin Bartley's heart? And will we get anything at all at St Johnstone, Ross County? Cudjoe is on for what? For Dundee United.
It's Liverpool home and away for Rangers next, isn't it?
Yes.
That's going to be sore unless they can find an improvement.
Away first, is it? Is it Anfield first, I think? Yeah, so
yeah, Anfield first.
It's a difficult run of fixtures. That's why you could have been doing with a first a result, of course, here, but a real performance, a real statement. Like you were saying, a 4 or a 5. It's been anything but that. No. There's been chances created.
It's the next
creating,
league game, not Tynecastle as well.
Hearts away, yeah. So, you know, they have to go away. The guys in international duty do their bit there, but the guys that remain at the club, then Van Bronckhorst, got a wee bit of work to do, man.
I like this. This is a good one. Sean Murray has reminded me of the time that Steve Sidwell was number 9 at Chelsea.
Was he?
I saw him at the Open this year. He's a big golf fan.
Is he?
Yeah, I saw him at the Open. Number 9, that's a good shout. Nizzy, same as you, Mark. Cancelo, number 7, Man City.
7, yeah. 7 for a left back's never good, is it?
Everyone's making me feel bad now. It's some sort of tribute to Andy Carroll's 2-year-old children. Fine, okay. A couple of minutes left. Can Cudjoe be the man who makes the late impact for Dundee United?
He played the tail end of the season, remember?
He's
up
exciting.
Ibrox.
Okay, Dundee United have now claimed for a penalty. That doesn't mean
second one
in the claim, but there we are, because at this stage of the game, I've got shades of Malky Mackay being unhappy at Ibrox a couple of weeks ago. Tillman's challenge, quite a tough one for David Friel to tell, he says, from his vantage point in the stand. If there are any producer Callum will come in raging about it. The early suggestions as well, is it even inside the box? That would be another issue. Is it inside the box or is it a foul? Kevin Clancy says no on both fronts. So we'll see what Liam Fox thinks of that at the end of the game. Wonder if he's got a case. Airdrie 5, Clyde 0.
That's a thumping.
Salim Kadir Issa has scored on 89 minutes.
Remember him a couple of years ago?
Yeah, he scored
at Queen's Park. Yeah, mm-hmm. Then went to Livy. I'm sure it was Livy. Didn't do anything.
Oh,
he's
that's
back
right.
Scoring.
Yeah,
he scored every week, that boy.
Yeah.
Good player.
Roger Hanna's gone to all the way to Perth. He's watched St Johnston's.
No.
I know. 0, Ross County 0, 4 minutes added. Make it 14, ref.
Yeah.
County are pushing hard, though, he says. That would be dramatic stuff if they could get a winner.
The only guy who gets his photograph taken and it's in his own paper.
he's told everybody under him that better be in on Saturday.
You got my right side in here.
3 added at Ibrox. So, is there a sting in the tail for Rangers? It would be quite something. Because when they went one up early on, it looked like this could have been anything. But credit to Dundee United.
Are we surprised that Morelos isn't on the pitch?
I am.
You know, I heard David, and I totally agree with David at Ibrox when he said, look,
He's just back 6 months the other night there. But surely in a game like this, I know that Čolak scored two goals, be very hard to sub him, but surely if you're getting him up to speed as well.
I mean, if he's fit enough to be on the bench, there's now an international break. Would you not be as well getting some minutes in the leg? And then
that's my point.
Look, there's a lot going on for the Rangers fans at the moment. Got to say, happy by name and ambitious by nature. Dundee United man's just tried to header it from about 20 yards out
to score,
which is tough. It's tough to do.
Well, you don't buy a ticket, you don't win the raffle.
You used to see loads of goals like that in your day, in Dazzy's
day. Matty.
Aye, like centre half scoring for like 20 yards, and the goalkeeper's jumping about because he had no gloves on.
You wouldn't get a game in my day, mate. That's the difference. You and Chaduri, or whatever you call him.
He was an international fullback.
This day, you get caps for South Korea. You get caps for just visiting the country. Who would have come back with a cap with Italy if he'd have been a bit younger?
Rangers have got a corner and they're not really rushing to take it, so it maybe tells you a bit about,
they'll,
you know,
take the 3 points.
Yeah, where they feel things are at the moment, Hugh.
Yeah. For Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, it's simply a stay of execution. It's keeping the crowd at bay, but the crowd will know what they're looking at the moment, and what they're looking at is uninspiring. And to be playing the team at the bottom of the league and to be holding on, and at the end of the day stalling for time, tells you all you need to know.
I mean, at the same time, Gordon, the time is almost up, so you've not got time to turn this into a doing anyway.
Yeah.
Can we really hold that against Rangers? Just make sure you get the 3 points. You always talk about teams managing games. Obviously you'd have rather scored more, but there's 92 on the clock. Does 3-1 make any difference?
No, I'm Van Bronckhorst. I'm saying make sure we don't concede. Right, I'm not bothered about scoring. The 3 points are there. You can take that and move on, and just, you know, come out and say, right, okay, most important thing's win the game.
Let's round this off, Hugh, if we can.
Okay.
The second half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
I've played alongside Graham Dorans, Patrick Schick, and Lomana Lualua. I've been managed by Roberto Di Matteo and Sven-Goran Eriksson. I've won the top flight and cup in my own country, but only one major trophy in Scotland. I've played for 10 clubs.
Sorry, just quickly, chances for Dundee United at the end blocked. Rangers are hanging on a point. Carry on.
I played for 10 clubs across 5 different European countries. Who am I? I'm Roman Bednar.
Well done if you got it right. Brilliant question. Really impressive stuff. I'll tell you what I'll do. Is third place was Louise Fulton. Well done, Louise. Div Walker second, Craig Gowran the winner. Well done, Craig. It is now full time at Ibrox, and Rangers have hung on. They've got the 3 points despite a spirited second half from Dundee United. It was not vintage Rangers by any means, but the 3 points do go on the board. It looked like they would have a really comfortable afternoon. Chances early on, Ryan Kent fluffed a very simple one. It didn't prove costly for long because Antonio Čolak put them in front. And at that point you thought the floodgates would have opened, you have to say. But it didn't prove to be that case. At the start of the second half, there were starting to be some grumbles. Antonio Čolak scored early in the second half, taking his goal tally up another one. And again you thought maybe that's the point for Rangers to kick on and make it convincing, but it didn't happen either. And actually Dundee United it was who got the next goal. A nice move when Happy came on. He linked up, he played it into Liam Smith. He found the back of the net. Maybe Alan McGregor could have done better. The ball sort of hit his foot and went underneath him and spun up into the roof of the net. And after that, I mean, of course Rangers had chances at home, but you could have said that Dundee United looked the more likely. And even right at the end, pressing, felt they should have had a corner, but the full time whistle went, and in the end it's Rangers 2 Dundee United 1. How satisfactory will that be, Hugh?
No, not for me, I suspect not for the vast majority of Rangers supporters. There are no negatives in a win. However, there were negatives in Rangers' performance level, and they simply don't look like a team who would inspire you to think that they can take the league back from Celtic.
So that's your first full time. Rangers fans, where are you? What did you make of it today? Now is the time to phone 01419511025. It's finished at Easter Road. Not yet. In fact, that's the last one, isn't it? It's finished in Livingston. Fraser Wishart.
Livingston 1, Kilmarnock 0. A third 1-0 victory of the season for Livy. Not a game for the purists. A real physical battle. Only a few flickers of football. And it was left back Christian Montano that scored the winning goal for the second game in a row. Not too much to talk about in the first half. The opener came in the 25th minute. Turned out to be the winner. Very simple goal. Sean Kelly with an in-swinging corner from the light, and left back Christian Montano Rose unchallenged to beat Hemmings to the ball to head home from 6 yards. Holt almost made it two. His shot was blocked just a few yards from goal by Power. But Kelly, their only effort in the first half, a deflected Armstrong cross that is pushed away by Shamal George. Montano came close in the 53rd minute to making it 2-0. Angled shot from the left, inches over the bar. But in general, the quality of the game hadn't improved. Plenty of endeavour and fight, but no real chances at either end. Denny McInnes did make a triple change on the hour, a sign he was unhappy, and rightly, because Livy were the stronger and the better team. Before the game had disrupted by a lot of injury stoppages, Concalves, the sub, could have put the game to bed in the 75th minute. He couldn't hit the target with a header from a Bahambula cross. Shamal George then had to move quickly to touch over a mishit Fraser Murray cross, but the big chance for Kelly to get a point from the game came in the 83rd minute. Murray whipped in a free kick. Christian Doidge, free header, back post, headed it back across the goalkeeper, but headed it 2 yards wide. A great deserved 3 points for Livy. Better team throughout. They're now up to third in the table. For Kelly, Denny McInnes going to have to find a way of creating more chances if they're going to get up the SPFL Premiership table. Full time here, Livingston 1, Kilmarnock 0.
Roger Hanna was at McDermott Park for St Johnston, Ross County. How did it finish?
Yeah, finishing Johnston 0, Ross County 0. Gordon, no goals, few real goal scoring opportunities either, and the game sort of petered out here in the second half. If you're looking for positives, it's a first away point of the season for the Staggies, and it's another clean sheet for St Johnston after their home win here against St Mirren a couple of weeks ago. And the point apiece does edge both teams further away from Kilmarnock and Dundee United at the bottom of the Premiership table tonight after defeats for those two clubs. It was a bright start to the game actually in the first 10 minutes. Both sides hit the woodwork. Stevie May had a shot off the post after it had beaten Ross Laidlaw after 6 minutes, and then in 9 minutes at the other end, good play by William Akio to get away from Andy Considine. He teed up a chance for Kazim Olaigbe, but his shot came back off the underside of the bar and flew to safety. Olaigbe another chance in 19 minutes, Ben Purrington the creator, but he dragged a shot wide when he really should have tested Remy Matthews in the Saints goal. Ryan McGowan, centre midfield for Saints, he was booked for a foul on Jack Baldwin midway through the first half, and then shortly afterwards Andy Considine had a decent chance with a shot inside the 6 yard box from a corner, saved well by Laidlaw. Second half, real few opportunities. David Kinkola had a shot from 20 yards for Ross County that was held by Saints keeper Matthews at the second attempt. Both sides tried hard. Malky Mackay made all 5 changes in the second half. On came Awura, Laturi, Danda, Samuels and Hewola, but none of them could find a way past Matthews in goal. Ali Crawford at the other end, he came off the bench. He had a shot off target just 2 minutes from the end from a Dre right pass. That was as close as they came in the second half. County trying hard deep into added time, a couple of corners as well. They just didn't manage to threaten Matthews in the goal at all. I think the less said about this game, the better. St Johnston 0, Ross County 0.
I look forward to reading more about it in the Scottish Sun tomorrow. Let's go to Easter Road. It's also finished there, Dave Galloway.
Yep, Hibs 3, Aberdeen 1. A dream start for the visitors as they took the lead in the 4th minute with a superbly executed goal. Coulson's cross from the left, brilliantly guided home by Duke, making his first start for Aberdeen. Hibs hit back and started to dominate possession. From a corner, there was a goal-mouth scramble, but Hanlon couldn't force the ball in from point-blank range. However, the flag went up for offside. As half-time beckoned, Ewan forced Roos into a quite brilliant save to keep out a well-struck drive from over 20 yards. But a minute into first half injury time, Hibs got a penalty. Scales fouled Porteous and he got a second yellow card, so off he went, and Boyle sent Roos the wrong way with his penalty kick for a very well deserved equaliser. Hibs were all over Aberdeen as soon as the second half got underway. Roos cut out a dangerous cross and then looked very lively to deal with Newell on the follow up. It was no surprise at all when the hosts went 2-1 ahead on 63 minutes. Nice lead up work indeed from Cadden, and a really neat turn and shot by Campbell did the rest. Around 10 minutes later, the same player made it 3-1 from close range, bundling home after Kukurevic headed the ball on. Soon after that, at the other end, Majovski missed an absolute sitter, somehow shooting wide after Richardson picked him out. He was in splendid isolation. That kind of summed up Aberdeen's afternoon, if you're being honest, as they barely laid the glove on their hosts after scoring so early. Thoroughly deserved victory for the Hibs. Hibs 3, Aberdeen 1.
And now it's over to you. Come on then, what have you made of today's football? What are you thinking ahead of tomorrow? And anything else that might be on your mind, this is the time and the place to share it. The open line is here, your chance to have your say, so please get in touch. 0141 951 102.5 Rangers fans, you're back to winning ways, you're back to scoring ways. Is that enough for you, or were you frustrated at the performance today? You'll be leaving Ibrox just now. Why not pick up the phone and give us an eyewitness account of what it was like? Good win. Any Hibs fans out there, it would be nice to hear from you. And then of course attention turns to tomorrow, St Mirren against Celtic. How do we see that one going? Will Ange Postecoglou experiment with some squad rotation, or one more game to the international break, keep it as is? Hearts off the back of European exploits, heading to Fir Park. It is all there, so come on, please join in. We love speaking to you on a Saturday afternoon. 0141 951 1025, and the open line is next.
After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Come on down then, give us your thoughts on today's football now that it's all said and done. Looking at you Rangers fans in particular, because I know lots of you are now leaving Ibrox, getting back in the cars, on the buses, train, walking, whatever it may be. Why not get that off your chest? Maybe some of you out there are more than happy and take a pragmatic view on things. It's 3 points, we're winning, we're scoring, it's a step in the right direction. Or maybe some of you are not impressed with the performance. There might even be a middle ground. So whatever it is, 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, how are you feeling ahead of tomorrow's trip to St Mirren? We've got Motherwell Hearts tomorrow. We had a big win for Hibs today, Champions League. Hugh Keevans is back from Rome. What more could you possibly want? Just to set the scene quickly for you whilst you get your calls in. The results today, Hibs 3, Aberdeen 1, Livingston 1, Kilmarnock 0, Rangers 2, Dundee United 1, St Johnstone 0, Ross County 0. In the Championship, Dundee 2, Inverness 3, Hamilton Accies 0, Queen's Park 2, Morton 1, Arbroath 2, Partick Thistle 2, Cove Rangers 2, Raith Rovers 3, Ayr United 2. Goals galore in the Championship. League 1 was Airdrie 5, Clyde 0, Alloa 2, Montrose 1, Dunfermline 1, Falkirk 1, Peterhead 2, Kelty Hearts 1, Queen of the South 4, FC Edinburgh 1. Lots of goals there as well. Albion Rovers 0, 4-4-2 in League 2. Annan 2, East Fife 2. Dumbarton 1, Bonnie Rigg Rose 0. Stenhouse Muir 3, Elgin City 3. And Stirling Albion 4, Stranraer 1. So many goals scored in Scotland's lower leagues today. And in the English Premier League, not too many. Wolves 0, Man City 3. Newcastle 1, Bournemouth 1. What are we getting on the phones tonight, Hugh?
I suspect Rangers fans not entirely happy with the performance. They detect early season flaws. Team selection is the cause of controversy. Dundee United had a strong claim for a penalty at 2-1. Kevin Clancy chose not to award it. Rangers are at the moment a side looking for themselves. The team selection changes from match to match. They were, for periods of the game against Dundee United, hanging on. That's not what the Rangers fans expect.
Well, let's find out. Don't let him speak on behalf of you, Rangers fans. James is first up from Airdrie. How do you sum up that game today, James?
Good evening, panel. I couldn't agree with you anymore.
Oh, dear.
After that performance, that sets alarm bells off at Ibrox. There's serious, serious problems at Ibrox. There's only four words to describe that performance today. Utter dross and dog meat. There are serious, serious issues at Ibrox. I mean, we're beating a team that got beat 9-0 after other team for Glasgow. 4-1 against Hearts, 3-0 against St Mirren, and we can only beat them 2-1. Come on, there are serious issues.
Well, it's 5 past 5 and the phrases dog meat and utter dross have been mentioned, so
we always like to think,
have we peaked already?
We always like to think in this country that our football fans know what they are looking at. James knows what he's looking at, because that performance was totally uninspiring. That's not the kind of performance that will get Rangers the league title back off Celtic. Celtic are far more stimulating, exciting, exhilarating than a Rangers side just now, who could not rise above average
that
today.
Other team from Glasgow, James mentioned. James, I'm going to try. I think I know the way this will go. You haven't been scoring goals. At least you got two today. You got back to winning ways. The performance wasn't great. Can you take anything from the fact that it was a win?
Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's the same problem week in, week out. There's serious problems up front. Kolak scored two goals a day. He's not the answer.
What? How can he be the main focus of your disappointment after that game?
Well, what does he do in the Rangers games? He runs about like a heedless chicken.
Scored twice, you just said it yourself.
Aye, that's all he's done today.
Hold on, but does that not make it more than anybody else did today?
No. We need somebody better up front than him. We'll get serious problems up front.
Wow, Gordon DL.
I think that's very hard on Cholak.
Was it dog meat and utter dross? That's what we need to establish first.
It's not exciting, put it that way. I think the Rangers fans are quite entitled to moan a little bit. Look, it's 3 points, they're back on to winning ways. I agree with the caller. I think there's things at Ibrox that's just not right for me. I don't see the direction the manager's trying to go in. I look at the squad, I look at the bench. I'm talking about, you know, using players in different ways. For instance, which says there about Morelos, the caller was talking about up front. Cholak, he doesn't get involved in the build-up. He's not a Morelos. But the one thing I said earlier is, if you put the ball into dangerous areas, he gets goals for you, right? So, one, he's there to score goals. He's scoring them. What's that, 9 he scored or something?
They weren't particularly simple finishes today either.
No, he can finish, Gordon. But he's not the overall striker like Morelos. I think Morelos can hold the ball up, bring you up the pitch, score goals as well. Cholak's an out-and-out goal scorer. He's a guy that you've just got to put the quality in there, and he's shown he can get goals. So I'm taking him out the firing line today, because as a centre forward, if you go out there and you score 2 goals, to me you've done your job.
Mark,
it's as simple as that.
You're a Dundee United legend, of course.
Yep.
Where do you sit in the dog meat and utter drossometer?
Well, I'm with the guys. It was uninspiring. It was unexciting. I mean, the problem with that result for Rangers is there's probably games like that throughout the season that you will get away with that. Winning's all that matters. Later on in the season,
yeah,
Dundee United at home 2-1. Who cares? You move on to the next one. Problem is, it's coming off the back of this terrible run. And the place Dundee United are in just now, James quite rightly said, Celtic took 9 off them, Hearts 4, St Mirren 3, Livy 1, so on and so forth. So today it couldn't have got any easier on paper for Rangers and the players.
Bit of credit for Dundee United though, the way they
came back into it. Because once it went 2-0, I thought this could be a 3 or 4, like Hugh was saying, but they came back into it. But Cholak's at least the Rangers' problems at the minute. At least he's contributing. I would look the other side of him. I would look at Kent. I would look at this right hand side of Rangers, where who's filling that void? Arfield plays at.
And by the way, you maybe said that a Saturday back in 2019.
Of course, because they've just had nobody to fill that. You know, and it's not as if even Kent can go over like Jota does for Celtic and switch over sides. Why does Van Bronckhorst never try that?
Right.
Surely that's glaring.
James, please tell me the problems run a bit deeper than just Antonio Cholak, though.
I just feel as if he's not doing enough. That's what it is. I feel as if, right for the start of the season, there's been problems up front. We're not scoring goals. Look at his day. 2 goals against a team that got a hammer 9-0. There are serious problems here.
I have to go back though, James. You know, leave Cholak out. Try and get him out of your mind for a second. If there are serious problems, then they run deeper than the guy who scored 2 goals today. So what are the serious problems as you see them?
They can't keep a clean sheet. Have a look at that first and foremost. They're leaking goals like Mark's Range Rover out there, leaking oil. It's unbelievable.
It's not the best analogy I've ever heard.
I want James to isolate something. Get Cholak out of your mind. If there are serious problems, James, isolate one other than Cholak.
What else is going on, James?
I think the manager, he's taking it in a shaky nail, honestly, with the team selection for a start. The other night there against Napoli, that team he played the other night there was a team that he would have played 2 or 3 years ago. There's no urgency, there's no flair, there's no desire in the team. Nothing. Basic mistakes, week in, week out. Where fans going out there at 75 minutes, that's never seen at Ibrox. 1-2-1 and fans are running out. That shows you how bad we are.
Flair, desire. Gotta say it's not far off. You know,
but those are two very different things, aren't they? Because
if
you're criticising the flair, you're either got your flair players who are there and are underperforming, or you haven't brought the right flair players into the club. So you look elsewhere. Desire's a bit more of an issue.
Well, against Celtic, that was what was labelled at the players. and I suppose desire today again. Things did look a bit slow, a bit laboursome. Even when they were two up, it looked like it was job done and we'll move on. Dundee United had other thoughts. At Rangers, you cannot afford to take your foot off the pedal.
I think every Rangers fan, Mark, will be worried just now that Europe could be far away from them very shortly. And the way Celtic are playing, Celtic could be far away from them very shortly. Yes, they picked up 3 points today. I know what James is talking about. You know, we want to score more goals, right? I totally understand that. But you've got to build from the back all the way up. The defence, they're leaking goals left, right and centre.
Then
the middle of part's getting changed all the time. Kamara's not kicked a ball. Ryan Kent is incredible how he's still playing week in, week out. Sakala's not going to look in. Matondo come in. He's not even in the he's not even on the bench today. Davis has come in to put an 18-year-old in front of him. And I like Young King. I think he's terrific. Sands has been tried at centre-half. To me, Rangers have no sort of structure what they're doing just now for some unknown reason.
I had described Dundee United earlier on as a punch bag, and James has highlighted all the big scores that they've had to suffer. But the punch bag in the second half at Ibrox were, for parts of the game, in control. And the Rangers fans, and James would have been one of them, are grumbling and wondering if the unthinkable is going to happen. We have James' eyewitness account that with 15 minutes to go, some fans had had enough and went home.
Nothing worse when the punch bag hits you back. Right. Yeah. That's a shock. James, thank you. James is, what a start to the show. Dog meat and utter dross. You know you're listening to Glasgow in the West phone in when a football performance gets described in those terms. Joe and Cambus Lang, how would you describe it?
Well, I'm the same. I'm actually sitting in the car just down for the Broomlawn. I mean, that was absolutely shocking. I mean, the first half, Dundee United were there for the taking. I mean, you could see why they were leathered several times this season, because Dundee United were woeful. But you go in at half-time, and they probably had 3 shots on goal, the same as we did. Then in the second half, they made the substitution. They took off Middleton and brought on the lad, and he seemed to have a bit of pace about him. If we had finished that game 2-2, it would not have surprised me. As I heard Gordon saying there, Ryan Kent, I mean, he couldn't hit a barn door recently. We've got a so-called £6 million Turkish international sitting on the bench. We've got the boy Davies on the bench. I mean, if the plan at the start of the season was to give King more game time, then why did we bother signing Davies? If Barisic was staying, which he obviously has, why did we sign the Turkish lad? We are not in a position, this isn't the Dick Advocaat or the Walter Smith, David Murray era, where we can buy somebody for £6 million and they sit on the bench and don't get a look in. I mean, John Lundstrom is the only consistent for me. I heard the boy mentioning Kolač. Kolač, for me, leads the line well. I mean, he's got his 2 goals, which obviously is one is the game. But I mean, absolutely shocking. I mean, even at the end of the game, Dundee United are on the attack, a few corners. Our defence is all over the place. I mean, I just don't understand what's going on at Ibrox with regard to the transfer policy and what Van Bronckhorst is trying to do in the park.
I'm fascinated, Joe, because you've brought up Ryan Kent and a few others have. What happens here then? Because everyone always says about Ryan Kent on his day and how good he is. It sounds like your problem is, well, what is his day? How often do you see it? So does he need dropped from the team? Or is the fact that there's not anyone actually at a level to come in and push him, does that then say something about the recruitment?
I think it's everything that you said there, Gordon. Everything that you said. There's nobody there to challenge him. He said one good season, which was the season he had on loan from us. Sorry, on loan for Liverpool before we bought him. He does. I mean, he has. To be fair to him, he has turned up in a few games, put in a few good performances. But again, today, no end product. Just, I mean, and he wasn't the only one. I mean, let's not single out Ryan Kent. Ryan Kent wasn't the only one. There was no end product from most of them. Now, the boy Charlie McCann, I was happy to see him getting a game. I thought he stuck in really well, played really well. And if he had, there was a few balls came across to him. If he hadn't wanted that extra touch and just hit it, he would maybe get himself a couple of goals. I mean, he was a bright spark in the game. But Van Bronckhorst sits there, stands there most of the game, throws his arms about, he's watching this. I mean, I heard obviously the guy saying dribble and dug me. I mean, honestly, it was absolutely shocking. And then 15 minutes before the end of the game, there was an exodus. It's like 40, 50% of the stadium left. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. It was, shocking. Absolutely shocking.
Passionate stuff, Hugh. I mean, well, the Rangers fans, we don't need to add anything to that.
We've now added drivel to dross and dugmeat. So it's drivel, dross and dugmeat, all the D's, to describe Rangers performance. 2 weeks ago, Celtic took Rangers apart, and the effects of that are still reverberating. I think it shocked Rangers to the core, in the same way that Celtic's 3-0 win last season at Celtic Park shocked Rangers to the core. Right now they're punch drunk, and you know, the international break is coming at the right time for them, because they can regroup, or they had better regroup, because it's Hearts at Tynecastle next.
I mean, Joe's right. You're never going to just single one person out and blame it all on them, but we're kind of working our way around. And obviously the Kent one's fascinating, because he's meant to be a main man, Gordon, and Joe talks about, you know, his productivity. I had a quick look, right, so this is rough. I think league games, because that's what we're discussing here, you think how much Rangers have got the ball and how much they attack, certainly at Ibrox. In his league career at Rangers, he averages about a goal one every five games. Probably looking for that to be a lot closer to three, and maybe even better, aren't you, for that type of player?
Yeah. Listen, I think it's a compliment to Ryan Kent, because you expect so much more of him because of the talent the boy's got. This season especially, every game I've watched him, I watched him against Napoli the other night, and at first 5 minutes you're thinking, oh, he could be on his game tonight. And if he's on his game tonight, he makes Rangers tick. It's that out ball, you can link up with Barisic down that left hand side. They can create chances, they can, obviously Kent's got a goal on him as well. For me, he has offered absolutely nothing. I'm very surprised that he's still playing week in, week out. If I thought Van Bronckhorst maybe just give him that kick up the backside that sometimes a footballer needs by saying, right, okay, you're not guaranteed your starting jersey every single week, I'm going to put you in the bench. And he's doing it with people, because Eric Kamara, for instance, Kamara's a terrific talent. He's not played particularly well, not even in the bench today. Matondo, who everybody was talking at the pre-season games, this guy's going to light up Ibrox and the wide areas and the pace, not even a bit. There's just something not clicking at Rangers just now.
Context is important here, Hugh, isn't it? Yeah. Because you go back any season ever in the history of any league, people say, you know, champions need to grind out wins sometimes and win what you're not your best. It just doesn't feel like that applies at the moment for Rangers. That's not what this is in the eyes of the Rangers fans.
I'm beginning to look ahead, Gordon, and thinking that, you know, two games against Liverpool, the knock-on effect, if Liverpool do beat you home and away, you've got the Hearts at Tynecastle. Rangers have to find an incredible lift in form, based on today. They have to find it quickly or they're in trouble.
Right, Thomas in Shettleston is not happy, and he's coming up next.
The games are over, the talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale are here. There is some passionate stuff coming from the Rangers fans, and they won today. They beat Dundee United 2-1, but it seems to be the performance level that's causing some issues. Thomas is in Shettleston. Are you angry, Thomas?
I'm not very happy, no.
What in particular has annoyed you?
It's basically it's the whole system. It's the whole system this year. Basically, we've plugged up the pass, and everything's static. Let the teams come on, they're actually invited to them on the defence. They're leading goals because we're inviting them on.
Yeah, Mark, there was something about the second half where actually Dundee United had, like, you know, some like controlled periods of the ball. I mean, that's not something you often expect. You know, you can have games where you're totally camped in, it's a quick counter here and there, and that's the way it started. But there was almost many, because I don't want to overplay this, but there was many sustained periods from Dundee United.
Yeah, that is a surprise. And that's probably getting back to my point when I say desire. I was probably meaning desire to go and press in a certain way. The Rangers team seem a bit disjointed for me in that respect now. So Dundee United, in the greatest respect, shouldn't come to Ibrox in the latter stages of the game and control possession, put you under pressure. And that, I think, is a concerning thing for Rangers fans. They look across the other side of the city, because you always have to compare, and they see this Celtic side that are in people's faces, who suffocate teams, who pin them into their own half until it's too much for them. I don't see that from Rangers at all. I think Rangers look easy to play against in periods of the games, and that's what the result you get. You get conceding goals week after week. You take it back a couple of seasons when Rangers were so hard to score against. The pressing came through the front, the back four, and Alan McGregor got all the praise, but the pressing came through the front in the midfield, and it was hard to get to the back four. I don't think it's hard to get to that back four at this moment in time.
But just to go back to Thomas's original point that Rangers are inviting teams onto them, that wasn't the case first half. Rangers had scored after 8 minutes through Antonio Colak and were pummeling Dundee United. Arfield had a bad miss. Ryan Kent had a bad miss. It was a first half which Rangers totally dominated, and then the game slipped away from them.
So what's annoying you the most, Thomas? Is it the way the manager sets out? Is it the players that carry out the job? What in particular is the main problem for you?
Basically, we started off the first 10-15 minutes, we're all on the front foot. Basically, last season, it's all going home. And basically, once we get a goal, we sit back, just mess about. But I actually watched 10 passes go today. Three separate occasions, and the ball didn't even move any further than 10 yards. It just went 10 yards, back 10 yards, back, almost 10 yards, back 10 yards. So we're just inviting that. See, I'm saying, every time we move the ball forward, it goes back to the defence. So it gives him a chance to press every time. He never changes that. They've only called that up front as well. But all right, he's scoring goals. But he doesn't hold the ball up. There's no outlet to him. And obviously, Morelos holds the ball up, plays the ball up to the wings for Kenton. But with that, you don't get that.
I'll tell you what, there must be a lot going on if we're getting so much criticism for a guy that scored two and none of his teammates scored.
Yeah, see if Rangers were flying, people are on this phone and saying he's a great signer because he's banging
two chances, two goals. That's what he needs.
He's banging the goals in. And if you're sitting there in the dressing room this afternoon and you're saying, right, I'm a striker of Rangers and I've just scored two, I think you're happy with your day's work. But I agree, he's not a Morelos. He's not a back-to-goal player. He's not a link-up player. He's a box player. He's a guy that comes alive in the box. I think his second goal he makes a great run for, you know, and it's a good finish. He's a good finisher. I just think the overall picture of Rangers, see, you look at Celtic just now, the way they've settled. If Celtic were playing the biggest game of the season tomorrow, I think we would probably all pick the team, maybe get one out, for instance. If Rangers were playing the biggest game of the season tomorrow, I think you'd be all over the place trying to pick their team. I don't know. I have no idea what they're trying to do. There's no pattern in what they're trying to do. I look at the bench. I look at things like, right, there's an international break coming up. You've got your number one striker that played the other night. Totally understand you're not going to risk him because of the length of time he's been out. But surely you got him on the part of the day for 20 minutes or 25 minutes. If he was that good to play against now, playing the biggest game of the season, surely he comes on against Dundee United. You've got a guy up from Liverpool with a big reputation, an 18-year-old's playing in front of him. Arfield is never that wide-righted sort of a guy, that in to out. He can play that, but that's not his natural. Kent's not kicking a ball. Sakala can't go in the park. Matondo isn't even on the bench. There's no pattern to what they're doing.
I mean, Hugh, we know the unique pressures that come at those two clubs in particular, because I'm stating the obvious, going over all ground, the budgets are massive. They should win every week. They should they should win all the trophies. So just simply winning games of football isn't enough. So we've always kind of known that. And at a time when your rivals look particularly adept at killing off teams and putting their foot to the floor, and then you're not doing that, everything just becomes a perfect storm for the manager.
If Celtic go to Paisley tomorrow and play as Celtic can and utilise the strength and depth that Ange Postecoglou has and score the amount of goals that they are capable of scoring against St Mirren, it will not only please the Celtic fans, but it will give the Rangers fans cause to say, look, that's what they can do and we can't. And therefore, very early on in the season, you're beginning to have serious doubts that you are a proper match for Celtic.
Thomas, thank you very much. That was Thomas in Shettleston. Straight on then to Mark in Uphall. You got any different feelings, Mark, or is it all as negative as what we've been hearing?
Hi Gordon, how are we doing?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, good. Very similar to your callers that have already called in tonight. I'd start first and foremost with just saying I thought it was absolutely disgusting, the behaviour they'd done to United fans at the start of the game, during the silence, etc. It's obviously been well documented with other teams as well. I just thought that was very disrespectful.
Yeah, Hugh, I mean, listen, absolutely. My belief is Dundee United are, I think they're going to say something officially as a club, yeah, in response. I mean, Liam Fox, interim manager, is he really the guy to sort of front up on that?
I think it's
there's
better.
Also, just quickly, because I know there's a lot of speculation and looking at what might happen between St Mirren and Celtic tomorrow, the similar stuff to what Dundee United fans were singing seems to have been heard at Easter Road for the game against Aberdeen. So this seems to be a widespread thing, and I don't know how you try and condense feelings on all this. So give it a go.
I don't think it should be left to Liam Fox to articulate the club's position on fans who disrupted a minute's silence. I am surprised that the Dundee United fans did that. I'm equally surprised by the Hibs supporters. My point of view is simply this: you need not have any regard for the royal institution, none whatsoever. But all you've been asked to do is to keep quiet for 60 seconds following the death of an elderly lady. I don't think that that's beyond the ken of those who are at football grounds. I am shocked by what's going on today, and I would hope that the Celtic fans would listen to what Ange Postecoglou has said in terms of respect. Read what he has said in this morning's newspapers. Go to Google. Do anything you like. Listen to what Ange Postecoglou has said.
Yeah, but it seems to be a widespread thing today, which I'm sure will send quite a lot of clubs into having a look at what they do, how they respond, and what sort of message they want to put out. What about the football when it did take place, Mark?
I'm on the way back home at the moment. I'm in the car with the kids. I thought the game was, the first 10 minutes started very positively. Rangers were looking quite sharp and quite good. I thought they were going to be up for it today. I thought this might have been the day that things started looking up. After the first 10 minutes, it was terrible. I can see why fans were leaving it. It was boring. It was uneventful. There was no thought going in. As the game went on, you could see Gio stood at the sidelines, kind of waving his arms up as if to say, why are you doing that? All the players were doing it. Like, it was almost like it was a blame culture. Everybody was blaming each other. People were pointing at everybody else, and nobody was taking, you know, the bull by the horn, so to speak. One of your previous callers said he thought John Lundstrom was the only mainstay in the team. I thought John Lundstrom was terrible today. I thought the whole middle, Arfield, Lundstrom, Jack, terrible. A lot of them were terrible. I didn't see any desire at all. I actually really quite like Gio. I don't agree with everything he does. I actually quite like him. But I must say, I think the writing is on the wall for Gio. When there's so much disconnect between the fans, which there clearly was today.
I mean, I like the way Mark's put that, Hugh, because it's measured. It might not be the case. Rangers might not be there yet, and Mark's not ranting and raving and saying Gio out and it's all his fault. But he's saying he genuinely feels that it's a guy that he likes and he supports, but he just thinks there's something not clicking. Disconnect was the word they used. We'll find out in time, but what do you make of that assessment?
I think that had Rangers dropped anything today, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst's job would have come under conjecture. I do think that the Rangers manager who performs badly against Celtic is in trouble, and Giovanni Van Bronckhorst has taken a couple of real hidings off Celtic, and were he to take another hiding off Celtic in the next game, then I think that he really would be in trouble then. I go back to the very basic point. Celtic are terrific to watch. Celtic score lots of goals. Celtic have a goal difference that's wildly superior to Rangers. Celtic have a squad of great strength and depth. And at the moment, Celtic look odds on to retain their title. And that's why the pressure is mounting on Giovanni Van Bronckhorst.
Specifically on some of the players, Gordon, because like I say, well, anyone who's tuning in, we're not singling out just one or two. Everyone's getting it at some point. Previous caller felt that John Lundstrom was exempt from criticism, thinks he's been steady enough, and Mark saying no way, I think his level has really dropped off. What do you think?
I agree. I watched them the other night as well. I think most of them have dropped off. Tavernier, who's been absolutely brilliant.
But there was a real hope, though, wasn't there, that Lindstrom would be this real driving force this
season?
Yeah,
but he doesn't. You know, we've had a go at the defence. We've looked at the goalkeeping situation. We've had some of the callers have had a go at the strikers. But I totally agree. The midfield is the engine of the team, and that's not driving the team on at all. I think Lundstrom's went off it. Kamara, very talented player, right off it. Jack, for instance, I thought quiet today. It's a full package for me, Gordon. And I know that Van Bronckhorst is a guy that will come under the spotlight and take the pressure, but I think he's got good quality players there. I've got to stand up and take a bit of responsibility. If you've got, you look at that, they stand 75 minutes, you're at home at Dundee United, you're 1-2-1, and they're leaving in their droves. That tells you there's something up.
Yeah, Mark, just let's rewind 2 hours, 2.5 hours. The Rangers team was announced. We saw Leon King was in it and Charlie McCann was in it. And then Rangers fans were saying, well, you know, it's good to see young players, but also, what does that say that they're in ahead of Tillman and Davies and so on? What do you make of that side of it?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't say a lot. I mean, you know, your man McCann, the young boy McCann today, I thought done very well. He was probably one of the better players. It's quite concerning that we've got all these players in. Regardless of the money we've got, regardless of the names, we're bringing players into Rangers, Glasgow Rangers, and there's kids and players that have been there for years becoming a bit stale getting in front of them. It just makes me wonder what is going on. Can I also quickly say as well, that Kolac for today got the man in the match. He got the sponsor's man in the match. I can only assume it's because he got two goals, because he's done absolutely hee-haw else.
Well, there will be that, though, because, I mean, everyone's slaughtering the full team, so who else are you giving it to?
To be honest, it's difficult. The people are poor. Difficult.
I can't manage
the match, honestly.
Yeah, I know. I get that, but you're going to pick someone. So the guy that scores two is the standout.
Yeah, that's his job.
Yeah, exactly. He, Antonio Čolak, has done his job. There are many in the dressing room now who can't look themselves in the mirror because they did not do their job. So the emphasis on Čolak for me is mystifying.
But with every defeat or underwhelming performance, it just brings everything else into focus. Again, we're talking about signings, you know, who plays, who doesn't play. Yeah. What a weird position to be in as a football fan, where you're delighted to see young players get a chance, but you've got a nagging thought of, but why are they getting that chance?
Yeah.
That's a strange situation. That should generally just be a good thing.
Rangers are in a funny place right now. You know, they win 2-1, and the guy who scores two goals is getting the brunt of the criticism. I don't think that the Champions League is doing them any favours, because if you're going to get regular hidings, it has a knock-on effect with your domestic form. The fans are critical of Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, his team selection, the signing policy. Right now, Rangers are in a very strange place. And if Celtic, I repeat, go to Paisley tomorrow and win convincingly, then it just adds more pressure to Giovanni Van Bronckhorst.
You've got to admire the optimism. I mean, we are neck deep here in passionate arguments about Rangers and where it's all going, and Carrots is on the line, wanting a mention for Rannoch Amateurs from Bears Den because they beat EK 2-1 today. Yeah. Yeah, I love it. I like the optimism. I mean, consider it done. I don't know if we'll find time to get it on the phone lines as much as I would love to. We're going to hear from Giovanni Van Bronckhorst soon. In fact, let's do it right now. And then Rangers fans, have a listen and tell me what you think. Is he convincing you? Does his assessment match yours?
Obviously 3 points. I mean, it's the most, I think the most important thing today was to get back here to winning ways. I think we started the game really well. So many times at home to already score two or three times within the first 15 minutes. You know, in the second half, we scored quite early as well, the second goal. But, you know, you could see after we conceded the first goal, it's like maybe in our minds, in the players' minds, like what if? And you could see that it affected the game as well. You know, we had chances to kill the game off in 3-1. Some good chances, we didn't take them, but really happy to finish this block with a win, because now we have 2 weeks break until the next game against Hearts. We don't have the full squad for the next 2 weeks because they go on international duty. But yeah, I think the most important thing today was the win. It's quite difficult when you have three defeats in a row. It can affect you. And I think today, at moments in the game, it affected us. And where you see that the decision making we had on the pitch wasn't like we had to do. I mean, that's the most difficult thing in moments of stress or like difficult moments, to keep focusing on your task and on your play. And I think at moments of the game you could see that we didn't do that well. But in the end, I think this game should have been decided already early. And that was also one thing we have to do better comparing to last season, because last season we played many of these games and then eventually conceded a late goal and dropped points again. So, I was happy that we took the 3 points.
That is a very telling interview with Giovanni van Bronckhorst. The Rangers manager, at home against a team bottom of the league, is conceding that at 2-1 for Rangers against Dundee United, he could see that his players, experienced or otherwise, were looking at each other and thinking, to use Giovanni van Bronckhorst's expression, what if, what if. That for me is a statement that would be worrying for the Rangers supporters.
What did you make of that, Rangers fans? Get in touch. After they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line. Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson, Gordon Dale are in the studio. We're getting reaction in from the managers. You just heard from Giovanni van Bronckhorst, and we'll be giving you a bit more actually, because there's some very interesting injury updates. As one of the previous callers mentioned, there was a disruption to the minute silence from sections of the Dundee United support. They've now issued a statement to say that they are aware of the actions of a small section of the crowd who chose not to respect the minute silence before this afternoon's match at Ibrox. As a club, ahead of the game, we reached out to advise our supporters of the pre-match arrangements with the expectation the minute silence would be observed.
I feel sorry for clubs in this situation because, and Ange Postecoglou has spoken out on behalf of Celtic yesterday, the clubs aren't being disrespectful. The clubs aren't disrupting anything. An element, a small element, are the disruptive force. So I'd be reluctant to heap criticism on a club. You're asking individuals, bottom line, to remain silent for 60 seconds. You don't need to applaud if you don't want to applaud. You don't need to do anything. All you've been asked to do is put your hands in your pockets and just say nothing for 60 seconds rather than bring criticism down on the head of your club, who have no control over this.
And inevitably, though, here, we try and make it, this football issue. And, that club will do it, that club won't do it, and so on. And by the way, this changes nothing about how right or wrong it is. That's obviously up to people's interpretation. I think a lot of people at Dundee United would be upset and annoyed at what the fans did today, but it's not just Dundee United, and it won't just be Celtic tomorrow. And it looks like there was stuff at Easter Road today and so on.
And it's not just football fans either, Gordon, remember, that's wider situation.
How wide is that debate coming
when,
here?
But when a player, a former player, current player, well-known player, loses his life, you are inundated with people offering their thoughts and prayers. When the Queen passes away at the age of 96, people see it as a chance to disrupt a minute's silence. I do not understand that.
You can tweet us at Clyde SSB. You can get your calls in. Let's hear more from Giovanni van Bronckhorst, because this provides interesting updates on Hillander, I think John Souter, Kemar Roofe, Tom Lawrence. He was also asked about playing the youngsters as well, like Charlie McCann.
Well, I think Charlie did well. I mean, it's his development has been amazing. If you see him play, unfortunately we don't have him in the Champions League squad. But he's one of the players who's training really well. And also today, it's good to that we started with two academy players, for this club. That's also important, and they both deserve to be in the lineup. I think Charlie, you could see the ability he has, and you know, the speed of play. You know, he quickens the play at moments, and you know, only today, you know, he had some chances to score as well, and that's you know, one thing he has to is to improve. John Suter and Phil, I think they will take longer. They won't be back after the break. I think Tom has a good chance to be available again. Kamar, we have to see, is one of the players who can come back really quick, or maybe take a longer time. It's, you know, it's been with Kamar that for the last months. But Suter and Highlander will not be you know, in the next coming weeks back.
Tom Lawrence looking promising, however.
Yeah. For him, you know, for us it's good that there's the break, so he has 2 weeks extra to recover, and you know, I think it's going to be close for Hearts, but, you know, somewhere in that period, we should have him back.
I mean, none of that was brilliant news if you're a Rangers fan, even Tom Lawrence back after the break. But then that last comment, maybe, you know, maybe Hearts is too soon, it sounded like. John Suter, a bit more long term. Same with Hollander. No real commitment on Kemar Roofe either.
No, not promising news for Rangers fans. Kemar Roofe, but. Bit confused by that. We need to wait to see if he's a quick to come back or it's going to be long term, but it's been that way for months. That would suggest he isn't anywhere near, and that's where Rangers face some problems, because with Roof on the side, at least it gave the manager an option of playing someone more attack minded off that right hand side. He filled in there, he could fill in the left, he could lead the line. Rangers are having problems in that area, and the quicker they get him back to push Morelos and Cholak and Kent, the better.
Okay, 0141951125. We like a strong managerial reaction. I'll bring you another one from Jim Goodwin. You'll enjoy that. Let's bring in Alan in Irvine first of all. Alan, very passionate stuff from your fellow Rangers fans so far today. How do you feel?
Yeah, I was at a game with my wee boy, one of my friends, with these tickets. I thought after the first 8 minutes we were going to battle them. So we started off really, really well, quite decent intensity, and then after that it just went to bad to worse. Basically, I was obviously going to come on. Like, a lot of guys have come on, right, and they've given Cholak a bit of grief, and I think a couple of guys have said that he's chose to score goals. All right, he's not the same type of player as many else. We knew that when we bought him, but if you put the balls into the box, he scores. And that's what he's there. He's a striker to do that. He's not going to give you the same as what Alfredo does, because he's not that type of player. And I think it was Gordon, if I'm right, who said that, like, our identity as well at the minute, it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. Like, too passive with the ball at the back as well. There was numerous times, and you could hear Alan McGregor shouting, trying to tell players where to go and put the ball, and then it's closing the space down. So, and a couple of one of the other points that I had as well was that they were saying, how can we not let Ben Davies? Ben Davies just back to injury, and Leon King's the only really other natural centre half I've got at the club. So I thought he'd done well as well. Young Charlie McCann come in. These boys have got to be given a chance, because they can't keep impressing for the B team. And if players aren't doing it, and they haven't been for the season, then these players have to be given their opportunity. And but Yilmaz obviously hasn't getting in at left back, because Barisic has been playing well. He's not really done much wrong. So you can't take some doubt his performance, scoring goals. Do you know what I mean? Setting goals up for us.
I think you agree with that, Gordon, don't you? People are very quick to throw a blanket over them all and say no new signings are playing. And they did spend money on Yilmaz though, so the question mark will remain. But until such times as Barisic is dropping off more, is it fair to keep him in?
100%, I'd be the same. I know that Barisic has his critics, but I like Barisic. I think he offers a lot to Rangers. Sometimes he gets caught defensively, we know that. It gets well highlighted. But going forward, down that left-hand side, I think he puts in some good quality balls. He put in a good ball this afternoon for Cholak's second goal as well, an assist. It doesn't matter if you come in with this price tag. You've got to claim the jersey. And so far, we've not seen a lot of Yilmaz, but what I have seen him of, I've not looked at him and thought, yeah, you're going to be a real threat to Barisic. I think Barisic is a stick on for a number three berth just now, as I keep saying.
Stop calling it the number three berth.
I like that. I feel it's important. But I think there's more problems. You talk about, right, Alan said there, and I picked up about Ben Davies, he's not fit yet. He's been on the bench for the last, what, how many games?
Three.
Three games. He's not had a minute of play. So I'm sorry. I totally agree. I like the fact that King and McCann come in. I like that. I like young boys getting promoted. See, right now, I do believe, I don't know where it's in training and what's happened, I think King's jumped ahead of Ben Davis for some reason, because you're not telling me, coming up with that reputation, probably on a decent sized contract as well, looking to play because he never got a sniff at Liverpool, so he's wanting to kick his career on, and all of a sudden they're an 18-year-old in front of you.
Alan, thank you very much. I'm going to have to leave it there because I'm almost out of time, so my apologies. Please call back another time. We will redo it because there was some good stuff there. I just wanted to bring you the thoughts of Jim Goodwin because he's not happy and he's having a wee go at Ryan Porteous.
I thought we started the game really well. Obviously got our noses in front, but in the first 3 or 4 minutes, a really well worked goal, something we spoke about. You know, we know Hibs are vulnerable with the cross balls and have conceded some goals of late, so we worked on that. Great delivery from Johnny Hayes and a really good header from Duke, so delighted to go in front. You know, we knew obviously it was a hell of a lot of the game to be played, but I thought we were comfortable. I thought it was a decent game of football, 11v11. I thought it was quite end to end. I thought Hibs finished the first half really strongly, and for the last 15 minutes of the first half I thought we were a better team. Listen, the major talking point is, you know, what happens just on half time, the penalty which leads to the red card, which leads to the equaliser, and it was you know, really disappointing from our point of view. I don't know what Liam Scales can do when Ryan Porteous grabs him in a headlock and drags him to the ground, and I don't know how many times, you know, the boy Porteous can get away with that kind of stuff, because we're telling our players midweek, be careful with him in the box, be careful with him at set plays, try not to touch him because he will go over. I actually had a laugh and a joke with the referee prior to the game, again made him aware of it, and unfortunately just on half time he was sucked in hook, line and sinker, bought it, and you know, ends up with us having to play 45 minutes with a man less.
It's not the first time, is it? I think there's been a bit of beef with those two in the past, but I'd have to look up. I don't think he's a Ryan Porteous fan.
No,
Jim Goodwin,
no, it's impossible to comment because we haven't seen it.
It's all good fun though.
Yeah,
I would have loved to have seen them on the same pitch at the same time, Jim and Ryan Porteous. Very similar characters, know, in that respect.
I know where my money would be going. Those are the words of a manager who has slipped down the league table and been replaced by Livingston. Celtic, Rangers and Livy, they're a phenomenon.
What about today into tomorrow, Hugh? How do you sum it all up?
In this programme, in the last hour, Rangers have been described by their supporters as boring, uneventful, dross, drivel and dog meat. I wrote down every word, and the Rangers supporters cannot be kidded. The Celtic supporters are going to Paisley tomorrow knowing that they have a team well worth watching. 25 goals in 6 games. If Celtic go and be Celtic in Paisley tomorrow, they'll get a convincing result, and it will convince the Rangers supporters at the same time that their manager and their players have a long way to go to catch up.
St Mirren v Celtic tomorrow, Motherwell Hearts as well. We will be back next week to look back on all of the weekend's big talking points, so looking forward to that. Thank you Hugh, Mark and Gordon for their company in the studio. Thanks to the guys around the grounds. But as always, the biggest thanks goes to you for keeping us company with your calls, your tweets. And you can stay right there because George is up next with the GBX.